Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.
Big day, ThinkBigRadio.com listeners. Big here, your host tonight. We have a very special guest coming all the way from Atlanta, Georgia. Reverend Simmons, are you there?
I am here. Good evening.
Great. I would love for you to get out your contact information. How can we reach you before we even start this interview?
People can reach me through three ways. They can find me at www.theafricanamericanlectionary.org or www.theafricanamericanpulpit.com, 1-800-301-1905, 1-800-301-1905.
Great. Now, what I would like for you to share with our listeners before we get in-depth as to the phenomenal things that you've been doing, not only in Atlanta, but over the Internet and across the country is, you know, a little bit about yourself, where you're from, you know, where you're at, you know, things like that.
I am a native of Chula, Mississippi. That's spelled T, silent T, C-H-U-L-A. I grew up in Chicago, on the west side of Chicago, went to college at Bradley University in Illinois, and then spent most of my adult life in San Francisco, California. I attended Emory University for seminary. I attended law school in San Francisco at New College of Law, and then spent four years of doctoral work at Boston University. And right now, I am residing in Atlanta and serve as president of the African American Pulpit Journal, as well as creator and director of the African American Lectionary. I guess that's the basic things about me. I love to read, and I'm the seventh of 11 children.
Wow, so you come from a big family, and you're, I guess, the lucky number seven.
I don't know about lucky, but I've been blessed.
That's good. Now, from telling us a little bit about you, I see you went from Mississippi, Chicago, then Boston, and from Boston, you mentioned San Francisco. What was
San
it like?
San Francisco was right after college.
Oh.
Yeah,
so
Boston was way down the road.
Oh. So what was it like just living in all those different climates? I mean, you got a chance to really experience pretty much all of the seasons
in every place. It was wonderful because I got an opportunity to meet so many different types of people and not just experience the climates, but experience so many wonderful cities and customs and just got to learn a lot about the people around the country. So it's been wonderful. I tell people all the time that I'm a very stable person, so I can live anywhere.
Wow. Okay, before we conducted this interview, as with all of our big thinking guests, you know, the host will basically go on, they'll review the website and things like that. And besides you having an extraordinary website, which, you know, I know we'll have a lot of our listeners and archive listeners visit.
Thank you.
I had no idea, and I consider myself very well read, what a lectionary service does. So can you kind of explain to our listeners who, you know, may just not have a single idea about this, what it actually does?
Absolutely. Most people, even church people, are not familiar with the term lectionary, especially the African American community. The lectionary, a lectionary, is basically a tool where people use, usually the white lectionaries, I'll put it like that, usually have four scriptures. that are provided for every Sunday of the year to help preachers and denominations pretty much preach about and talk about the same subjects as well as preach their way through the Bible. That's the traditional understanding of a lectionary. What the African American lectionary is, it honors the annual days of the African American faith community. So it's not a scripture for every Sunday of the year. It's the annual days of the year that we tie to scripture. We give you cultural resources to help you understand those days on the calendars. We give you worship services and other ideas if you want to plan a service around one of those days. So that's how our lectionary functions.
Oh, now that you put it in that times, I recall hearing and reading about lectionaries because they have it where it's like a scripture for every day.
Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, now I follow you. One of the questions that I have for you is how important is this African American lectionary to pastors and, you know, even the members at large?
I think it's critically important because we live in an age where people let's start with preachers. We live in an age where preachers are trying to figure out how to stay fresh and relevant in what they preach. And the lectionary is a tool for you to do that. The material listed has been prepared by some of the best trained minds in America and in the world. So it's important for that reason. It's also important because it looks at the critical issues that the African-American community is facing. So on this lectionary, you will see listed as an annual day domestic violence. You'll see HIV and AIDS. You'll see kids and health issues. You'll see youth violence. You'll see Women's Day, Men's Day. And all of those deal critically with issues that must be addressed if our people are to become stronger and survive, especially during such bad economic times. So it's critically important.
Well, I can see how not only is, you know, this something that deals with history, but it also deals with, you know, the things that we're facing today, which is almost like the things that we faced, you know, yesteryear, and having a fresh approach where you could go, you know, as far as looking at this as a resource.
Well, that's exactly what we were thinking about. We looked at how to be relevant, but also how to help people learn from our history. So as a part of the lectionary team, we have a sage. Her name is Bernice Johnson Reagan, Dr. Bernice Johnson Reagan, who created the group Sweet Honey in the Rock. She's our cultural historian leader. And she has helped us to always keep in mind that you will not know where you're going if you don't know from whence you've come. So there's a lot of history on this website. Right now there are more than 3,000 pages on this website.
Wow.
And 50% of it is just history. A lot of history that we didn't learn in school. I know I never learned it in school, in high school and in grade school, but it's there. For instance, the gentleman who created Kwanzaa, in about 3 weeks, his offering will be up on the website. He's going to tell you about Kwanzaa.
Wow, so I can see how you did really tap into a lot of the big thinkers to bring this project to fruition.
Some of the brightest minds anywhere in the world have written for this website and contributed to it. It's been amazing that people have been generous with their time and their talent. I'm really humbled that people have given of themselves so greatly because our community badly needs this.
Well, one of the things that I noticed perusing your site was how you had the big idea, you know, and it kind of made me think of Think Big Radio.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that was a you know, big is small compared to the gargantuanness of this idea that you had, and then to have all those people recognize it for what it was and contribute. Now, I understand that it took you a lot of time, you know, developing this website. How did you come about, you know, the funding for this?
Once I got the idea and how to put it together, I went about looking for organizations that fund theological and spiritual projects.
Okay.
And I pitched the idea to the Lilly Endowment, which is in Indianapolis. And they put me together with Vanderbilt University as someone who could provide the fiscal administrative support. But Lilly said, we believe in this lectionary, and to the tune of just about $2 million, they funded it so that it could be a free resource that's just out on the web for the world to use.
That's great. When was it that this passion actually filled you? I mean, how did you find or want to start this, you know, recognize that this was a need that we needed? How did it just hit you one day? That's what I want to know.
Well, about 13 years ago, I started working with what was the African American Pulpit, which is a preaching and ministry journal. In fact, it's the only African American-owned preaching and ministry journal in the country. At that time, when I first started working with it, I was just editing for the journal. It was owned by a white publishing company and a white denomination, predominantly white denomination.
Mm-hmm.
The denomination decided to downsize. And so they said to me and a gentleman who I was doing work with on the journal, they asked if we'd like to buy it. And I don't think that they thought we were seriously interested, but they did ask because we'd put so much time into making it, trying to make it successful. And we said we wanted to buy it. We purchased it. And so my business partner and I, Dr. Frank Thomas out of Memphis, we started the journal, and over time we kind of gained a reputation for the people you go to for African-American preaching and articles about the church. In the midst of doing that work, I started to ask myself, how can I get more teaching information to preachers, many of whom are never going to go to seminary or Bible college, and
right.
Some who went and maybe they didn't get what they wanted, and they're feeling kind of overwhelmed. How can I help provide a service to those people that will help them do what they need to do better for our people? And I had learned about lectionaries when I was in seminary and knew they existed, but I started to look at them and I said, oh, my God, now I know why black people don't really use these lectionaries. They don't speak to us. They're not about us. And so I was in the fourth year of my doctoral work, and I had one of my professors was on the last team that developed the material for the Revised Common Lectionary, a very kind white man, and I asked him why there were no black people on that development team. And he said it was unfortunate, but he said to me, honestly, if African Americans really want a lectionary that works for them, they're probably going to have to develop it.
Wow.
And I think I was mad for about 5 minutes. And then I said, no, the angle won't serve you. If you want it, create it. And that's what I did.
You know, it's a blessing, I believe, that, you know, you were able to see this need and talk with people and realize it was something that we did need. And it's so often where segregation isn't something that you know, we want, you know, anybody. I'm not saying it. I'm sorry the way I rephrase that, but sometimes you have to do things that fits that type of people, because we can't do everything the Spanish do. We can't do everything the Chinese do, but we have to make it fit, you know, our particular culture and still.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, you can respect every culture, but you must love and promote your own culture. And so that's just what I'm about doing. I have no problems with anybody else having a lectionary. In fact, we get emails all the time from white clergy who say, thank you for the African-American lectionary, because I've been able to use it in my congregation to help my people. And so, you know, we're not excluding anyone. We're simply saying, here is information that no one knew. No one knew it, and it needed to get out there. So we're adding to the pie. We're not excluding, cutting it up. We're enhancing the pie through the African-American lectionary. The Revised Common Lectionary is still out there. It's been out there for 50 or 60 years. The Catholic Lectionary is still out there. It'll be out there, but so will the African-American Lectionary.
You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. Before we go any further, please get out your contact information so that those just now joining us or those that may take a minute to actually listen at this point can get your information.
Preachers, lay people, worship leaders, people who want to know about church history and black history can find the website at www.theAfricanAmericanLectionary.org or go to www.theAfricanAmericanPulpit, and that's a .com, theAfricanAmericanPulpit.com, or 1-800-301-1905, and at that number you can get all of the information you need, 1-800-301-1905.
Now, when you decided to start this, what did you view as your biggest challenge?
Money.
Wow.
Just money. Money, you need money to get the time to live out a dream. You just need money. You need money, time, because your bills still have to be paid.
Right.
And I was, as I said, I was running another business at the same time.
Yes.
And that's a journal that comes out quarterly that's 96 pages for color. So you can imagine what it takes to put out a quarterly journal every quarter.
Yeah, and with that many pages.
So I was doing that and needed the time to do this project along with doing a lot of preaching and lecturing and the other things that I do. Plus, I was working on a 1,300-page anthology. So I needed money to get time to not do some of the other things and to pay some other people to do a lot of research work and other kinds of things. And so that was the biggest hurdle, was money. But the ultimate big hurdle, I think, in every venture like this is having enough belief that you have something that must get out there. You just have to believe that you have something that has to get out there, and once you get over that hurdle, it will happen.
Wow. What would be the biggest advice or quality you could share with our audience that helped you the most? Because that was a big challenge, and I do understand when you're doing two or three different things that there's only 24 hours in a day. We try to make it 25 and 26 for lack of sleep, but for the most part, it's 24 hours.
They are just 24 hours, and believe it or not, I sleep 8 hours, I'd say 6 out of 7 days a week, because I have to sleep in order for me to dream, create, and to work effectively. If I had to, you know, if I had to give people advice, though, I'd say, number one, stay in your area.
Okay.
Do something in an area you love. Stay in your area. Number two, just be determined. Just be determined. Black people weren't even talking about lectionaries. So when I mentioned this to just friends casually, they had no idea what I was even talking about. They had no idea. And that was fine. That was fine. I was determined because I believed in the idea. And if you are determined and believe in your dream, what I've seen happen over and over and over again is that once it hits the universe, like-minded people will join with you. And they might, and it could be that they gave you funding, could be that they pointed you to other resources or introduced you to other people, but they will join with you in some way. And in my case, it was the Lilly Foundation. But I've seen it happen over and over and over again. If you are determined to move a dream forward, you're staying within your area, and you're willing to do the work. I worked for a year learning about lectionaries, reading about lectionaries, finding funding sources, writing grant proposals. I think I ended up writing to maybe 30 entities, but all I needed was one big yes, and I got it.
Yeah, so that's great, because a lot of people, they give up after, you know, a couple of chances, and then they might move on to the next thing, and, you know, they have this repeated giving up after a couple of tries. But
well, that's the behavior that you exhibit when you don't understand what it takes to move a big thing. It takes a lot to move a big thing. So I'm not surprised when I see people give up after they're turned down or hear two or three no's, because they haven't decided that they want a big thing to happen and that it's going to happen no matter what. I'm working on right now, working on my next project. That's a $12 million project. Someone is going to give me $12 million.
Well, I definitely believe it, because I can just feel here in Chicago on this line your faith and the confidence that you exude, and being a woman of faith and a reverend and doctor have you, I would love to get a chance to even sit in on, you know, one of your lectures, because I can tell that it would be just as powerful as the way that you're, you know, talking to me at this moment.
Well, thank you. Well, I believe that if you are a person of faith, at some point your faith has to show up.
Right.
It has to show up. Either you do believe or you don't. At some point your faith has to show up. And I believe in hard work. I believe in hard work. And if you put that combination together, there's not much you can't do. That's
right.
Quite a combination. Faith and hard work will get it done. They will get it done.
What steps did you take to build your brand, and did you try any creative marketing techniques? Because I know that you know, did one of the major things, which was talk about your idea, even if, you know, people at that time didn't even understand it.
Well, I didn't have to do the typical type of marketing, because I already had a successful product in the African American Pulpit Journal.
Wow.
It had already been out there for 10 years. So people knew my name, and they associated it with something of quality. So the minute the lectionary came out and they said, oh, that's Martha Simmons and Frank Thomas, people said, okay, we'll check it out. And then, of course, we did the typical, we did e-blasts, we did major mailers, we were all over the web. I mean, you've seen the website, it speaks for itself.
Right, definitely.
So we did a lot of that. We were on blogs, journals. People in the seminaries talked about us, churches, et cetera. So we did some typical marketing, but we didn't have to do as much because we were already out there as a name that people could trust for quality when it came to the African-American faith community.
Now, how long has the African-American lectionary been around?
Let's see. This is month 19.
Okay. Yeah, and I can see just from the website alone that it appears like it has been around for a long time, just the time and everything that was put into it and a lot of the people that I see have contributed.
Yeah, it looks like it's been around forever, and it's just been 19 months that
wow.
The lectionary has been around. But as I said, we were able to move a lot of traffic to it through the African-American pulpit and all of the other people that we've been associated with because of that journal. But, yeah, every time people go there, we get emails saying, why didn't I hear about this 5, 6, 7 years ago? And it wasn't available. It didn't exist.
Right.
But there's so much on it that it looks like it's been out there for 5 or 6 years, and it hasn't been 2 years yet.
Now, as a big thinker, we understand that, you know, pretty much the key ingredients for one business can also work for another business, which you mentioned a couple of them as far as faith, belief, especially hard work. If you had 5 minutes to give the key to business success, whether it's this business or another business, you know, what step-by-step method would you share with our listeners?
Number one, I would say decide what it is that you love doing.
Okay.
Because it's in those hard times when you want to quit. If you love it, you can keep going back to it. Secondly, I would say get a good business plan.
Okay.
Investigate what you want to do. Don't just love it. Assume it's a great or a big idea and then jump out there. You have to investigate it. You have to know what time you're going to have to put in, what it's going to cost, how many people you need, and whether or not other people want it. I sent out 10,000 surveys about this lectionary before it went online to make sure that the people, I assumed they wanted it, that churches wanted it, worship leaders, historians, seminary, but I made sure. That was a part of my business plan. Number three, of course, you have to find your startup funding. And whether you're going to put it in yourself, get it from an entity like a Lilly Endowment or from venture capitalists, you have to find your funding. And typically, as you put your business plan together and put your budget together, assume that the budget you laid out is going to cost you twice that.
Okay.
So in other words, double your budget. And the last thing that I would say, and top of all of that again, is just be determined and willing to put the work in. Be determined and willing to put the work in. And if you do those things and you've got a great product that you market well, you're sure to succeed. And it may not be overnight, but you're sure to succeed if you keep at it.
Now, I noticed that you have focused a lot and mentioned education, and you know, part of our motto with our show is where big thinkers come to teach as well as learn. What books, mentors, training resources for this particular business that you can recall that really helped you along that route?
I don't know that there were any books for the lectionary itself. I read the history of all lectionaries, and I did my research.
Okay.
In terms of how to go about doing it, I went back to past efforts to find endowments, to find funding sources. So there weren't any particular books that helped me, but there is one resource that I've used as a business person over the last decade that I have found invaluable, and that's entrepreneurs.com and Entrepreneur Magazine.
Great, great. I've read the magazine, and I don't believe that I've been to the site, but I definitely will.
Yeah, you've got to. They have so much free information that entrepreneurs are not using, and it's amazing. They have it for women, African Americans, Latinos, young entrepreneurs, old entrepreneurs. No matter your category, Entrepreneur Magazine has something that will help you. If I had to give up every magazine subscription I had, I wouldn't give up that one.
Every magazine. I
wouldn't give up
that
one. I wouldn't give up that one.
That is something else.
I wouldn't give up that one.
That is something else.
Yeah, because they have so many free resources.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they told me go to a long time ago, go to SCORE, and
they'll get
someone to help you. Here is a list of women entrepreneurs that you can just dialogue with about how you're doing, ups, downs, your dreams, your passions. They have information on the latest technology and what's free. They have free resources on creating business plans. They've got every book that anyone has ever written on starting a business, growing a business. They have it all. They have it all. So that's a resource if you are a business person.
Well, I'm definitely going to, re-review and revisit some of those sites and those magazines that you're mentioning here. And another thing before we get, too far along, because we do have, a few minutes left.
Okay.
Let's get out your contact information once more.
The phone number first, 1-800-301-1905, 1-800-301-1905, and that will connect you to customer service for www.theAfricanAmericanLectionary.org and www.theAfricanAmericanPulpit.com.
Now, you mentioned that you came from a rather large family, and one of the trends that I've noticed on our show is that a majority of the big thinkers after we've incorporated this questioning into our questions, that they all come from, significantly, larger families.
Okay.
What was it like growing up with, 11 of you?
Well, we didn't all grow up together. My three oldest siblings actually grew up in Mississippi, and then I grew up with my other siblings in Chicago, and there was still quite a large number of us. It was, I think, like life is in most large families. It was a one-parent home. I was reared by my mother after my parents divorced, and there was just tremendously tough times. Chicago was a tough place to grow up in, a tough place, but it made me tough, and it taught me a lot of basic lessons about how you survive tough times. So when the economy started to fall apart and people were lamenting how bad things were, I really didn't get moved or upset because I've been there, done that.
Right, right.
And I've learned how you survive in tough times and even thrive in tough times.
Well, I'm being from Chicago. I always love to hear, stories of our big thinkers and how they grew up, because what I've noticed from traveling the country is that I just take it just from having those Chicago winters and living in the Midwest. You know, it makes us a little different and able to, you know, kind of withstand a lot of things. Not saying that everyone else isn't tough in their part of the country, but as far as me traveling, you know, that's one of the things that I've noticed.
One of the reasons I moved out of Chicago was because the winters are like nowhere else. I mean, they are just very, very difficult. I still have siblings who live in Chicago and other relatives, but there is nothing like that hawk. And now that I've been in Atlanta for the last 4.5 years, there's also nothing like the Atlanta heat. So I'm developing a thick skin for another type of climate as well. San Francisco, the weather was always basically around 60 or so. So I got very comfortable and used to being in a climate that anyone could deal with. And so I'm going through it all over again. And then being in Boston 4.5 years made me remember Chicago all over again.
Oh, okay.
So I have lived in enough places, as I've said, to feel very stable wherever I go, because I'm now familiar with all areas of the country, basically, and so can deal with the weather wherever I happen to be. I can deal with it.
That weather includes what's coming from the sun, the moon, and financially also.
Whatever the weather brings. Whatever the weather brings. I was born, I wasn't even born in a hospital. Mm. I was born in a shotgun house, as they termed it, still do term it, in Chula, Mississippi, at the hands of a midwife.
Wow.
And just to have survived that, and then have survived Chicago, a large family, being reared in a one-parent home and all of those kinds of things. And I was the first person in my family to ever go to college. So, like I said, over time, you get, if you seek them, you can get a lot of lessons, life lessons, on how to survive and thrive in bad times.
Now, is there anything that you would like to share with our listeners that no one really knows about you, like your love for dancing, you're a poet, you know, just something that it's like, you know what, many people don't know this.
Many people, and it's amazing that you just said two things. Many people don't know that I love to dance.
Oh, wow.
I love to dance. In fact, I'm trying to learn salsa whenever I can get a free moment, trying to learn salsa. I love to dance, have participated in dance contests, not anything major, just amateur contest. I love to dance, and I do love poetry. I've written poems here and there, and published just a few, haven't given it the amount of energy that I probably really should. But I do love poetry, love writing it, love reading it, and I love fishing.
Oh, okay.
I love fishing. Don't get to do that as much as I would like either, but I love it. I love it. I love water. I love the opportunity that you get to dream and sit while fishing. You don't necessarily catch anything every time.
Right.
But it puts me in a wonderful place to think and dream and calm down. And I think, as one poet said, to see myself go walking by.
Wow. That is something nice. And I wish I hadn't have mentioned the dancing and the poetry, because this wasn't rehearsed, everybody. I just kind of brought it up.
You really did. It really wasn't. It really
was. But even
was.
From your smile, I can just see those types of things, and I can't wait to, you know, finally when the chance does occur, meet you in person, because I'm sure that we will cross paths some way down the
road.
Well,
I will be in Chicago for the American Baptist Lectures November 4th and 5th. So hopefully we can get a chance to meet the next time that I'm in Chicago. I'm usually in Chicago at least twice a year.
Okay.
And plus I'm often a guest on the radio program that's led by the daughter of Reverend Jesse Jackson.
Okay.
And so I love Chicago. Always have
wow.
loved Chicago. Like I said, got siblings
yeah.
there, great friends there.
Well, I hope to be here. I know I'm going on a 4 to 5 city tour about the second week in September. So if it ends by that time and I'm back here, I'll definitely look you up and try to give you a call. But we're at the part of our show now that's, you know, really winding down, and I'd just like to ask you if there's, you know, any people, persons, entities that you would like to thank.
I want to just thank everyone that has supported the African American Lectionary. I want to, of course, thank all my staff that works with the Lectionary team, which includes Dr. Brad Braxton, Dr. Luke Powery, Dr. Stacey Floyd Thomas, Dr. Bernice Johnson Reagan, Dr. Juan Floyd Thomas, Dr. Anthony Penn, Dr. Nolan Williams Jr., Mrs. Michelle Riley Jones, Patrick Alston Sr., and want to thank all my staff connected to the African American Pulpit. And I don't think I've forgotten anybody. I just a whole lot of people I really could thank. People have been so supportive. And just so kind with their time, information, resources, and certainly I couldn't go without thanking the Lilly Endowment, Gene Smith, as their program officer.
Wow. And we'd like to definitely thank you for coming on ThinkBigRadio.com, sharing this information with all of our listeners. It was a real pleasure having you and just experiencing that positivity that's just exuding from your character.
Well, thank you so much for having me on Think Big Radio. It's been a pleasure, and I'm excited about what you guys are doing as a program, and I'm looking for great big things to keep coming forward from Think Big Radio.
Thank you. You're listening to ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful. You just heard Dr. Reverend Martha Simmons from Atlanta, Georgia, talking about the first African-American lectionary service. Be sure to visit her website. And we're going to end this interview with a song from Donnie McClurkin, Speak to My Heart. Think big, everyone.
Speak to my heart now, oh Lord.
ThinkBigRadio.com, where big thinkers come to teach and learn. Your goals are our goals, and your success makes us successful.